I bought a Cambridge Cameo wide margin Bible online. They're out of print. You can't get them anymore. It's King James Bible, but I mean the layout, like a Scofield Bible, like the layout of it. It's out of print. Can't find them anymore. So I found one on eBay, but some guy wrote a handful of notes in it. So if I start reading his notes, you get off track, you know. And pray for amen. Huh? I really hadn't even paid no attention to him. Yeah, I guess it'd probably be some good things. All right. Are we good? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Homiletics is what we're talking about. Homiletics. Does everybody have their textbook? Did everybody got it yet? That's all right if you hadn't got it yet. Because it'll probably be, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks before we actually get in the book. One of the reasons that I really wanted to use another textbook besides this one is some things that I wanted to deal with that I think is necessary in dealing with in homiletics is not really dealt with in this book. So I'll just deal with it out of the Bible. And then, of course, we know that's where we're going to anyway. And when we get into some principles, we'll get into this textbook a little bit more. All right? All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And let me say a few things before we get this scripture about homiletics. And, of course, last semester we talked about hermeneutics and really rightly dividing the word of truth. And homiletics, what homiletics is, the definition is this, simply this. It's the science and art of preparing and delivering a gospel address or a message. The science and art of preparing and delivering a gospel message. Now, I want to say some, but while you're maybe writing that definition down, you need to know that, but let me say something before I get too far into this. A lot of people are really critical of homiletics, and I said, well, you don't learn to preach, you know. And I understand all that, and that's true. You don't go to school to learn to preach. You don't go to school. We depend on the Holy Spirit and so forth and so on. But there are some principles that we can learn that'll help us better in preparing ourselves in teaching and preaching the Word of God. A lot of people make statements and they say, well, you know, I don't think you ought to have to, you know, a lot of people have the mindset that you don't really prepare, you don't really study, you just get up and let God fill your mouth. And that's really, and really you can tell when something, I'm not being critical, but you can tell when you listen to somebody like that. They have no organization, there's no order, they'll run here and they'll run there, and I'm amazed how many people will read a verse of Scripture and then they'll run 40 miles in that direction and 40 miles in that direction and 40 miles in that direction, and they'll never preach the text. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But I was thinking about this, really, an individual that does not properly prepare to handle the Word of God, that's just a foolish thing. Really, before we go to Timothy, go to James real quick. James real quick. I want to show you something. James chapter number 3, and then we'll come back to 1 Timothy. James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3 and verse number 1. James writing says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now that word master in that text, it means teacher. You remember when Jesus comes, or when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he said, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Art thou, and he was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. And so when he uses this word masters here in chapter 3, verse 1, it's speaking about a teacher. And look what he says, my brethren, be not many teachers. In other words, not everybody needs to be teaching and preaching. Be not. As a matter of fact, James is writing during that time in the synagogue. It was common for an open discussion to take place. Maybe a text or maybe a passage out of the law would be read, and then they would just discuss it. It would be an open discussion format. But there's the problem that arises from that is number one, chaos. Right? Everybody trying to talk, everybody trying to put in their opinions. And I've been in Sunday, and I'm not being critical, but I've been in Sunday school classes like that, right? Everybody wants to talk. And I tell you what else you'll run into. You'll run into people saying things, and they don't have an idea, don't have a clue what they're saying. And James, that's what James said, not everybody needs to be teaching. Why is that? Look what he says. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now that word condemnation, it means judgment. All right? In other words, the people that teach and preach and handle the word of God are going to be held at a greater responsibility in the day of judgment. When we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, the people that have taught the word of God and preached the word of God and handled the word of God in that way and tried to expound and teach the scriptures are going to be held a greater accountability is upon them, and there'll be a greater judgment. And so that's why it's important if we're going to handle the Word of God, if I'm going to preach the Word of God, if we're going to teach the Word of God, then we need to know what we're doing. Number one, we need to know it, right? That's why we looked at hermeneutics first. We need to know how to rightly divide the Word of truth. We need to know what the Bible teaches. You know, a lot of people, I was thinking about this. I was reading a man recently, and I hear this statement a whole lot, and people say, well, that's what the Bible, or this is what that means to me. We talked about that in hermeneutics. but he made a statement I really hadn't thought about. He said, when we get the wrong meaning or the wrong interpretation of a text, he said, we're not really conveying the idea and the thought of God. And there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, if I say, well, I think that's what that means, and that ain't, I mean, if I tell you something, if I make a statement to you, and you take my statement and you twist it to mean something that I didn't say or I didn't mean, right? Then you go tell somebody else that I said that or I said this. Well, that's a lie, isn't it? Is what it is. So when somebody gets up and handles the Word of God and says this is what it means or this is what it says or that, and it's inaccurate, and then word is lying, really. Right? So there's a danger, and we need to understand the grave responsibility in handling the Word of God. Whether you're preaching the Word of God, whether you're teaching the Word of God, whatever it may be, we need to understand there's a great responsibility that comes to that. Now, you say, well, hermeneutics is a science and art of preparing and delivering a gospel message. And I'm going to talk a whole lot to preachers but this is not, I said this before, this is not just for preachers. Because, I mean, before God called me to preach, one of the first things that the Lord ever put me to do was teaching Sunday school. And I taught Sunday school for a long time before I ever preached. And I'm going to say this, and I don't say this in a mean or a critical way, but I travel all across this country and preaching a lot of different churches. And again, I am not being critical, and I thank God for every opportunity, but I want to say this. There's a lot of churches that are starved to death for good Bible teachers. There's some starved to death for good Bible preaching, amen, but there's a lot starved to death for good Bible Sunday school teachers. I mean, I've I'm not being mean, but again, I have heard so much. And usually I try to keep my mouth shut, right? Usually. But if they get so far out in the ditch, and then it's hard for me to be quiet too much. And especially if they ask me, you know, isn't that right, preacher? No. No, you're wrong. And I've done that a time or two. But the truth of the matter is, we need to understand that there are certain principles about teaching. I said this last semester when we were talking about homiletics, that it is important that we have structure and organization in our messages, in our delivery, whether it's teaching or preaching, whatever it may be. And, you know, I said this, the Bible is an organized book. If we didn't learn anything in hermeneutics, surely we learned that the Bible is an organized book. It's not something God just threw. It was organized, right? Put together, and not only is it organized, but it's in order. It's not, you don't read a verse and then the next verse it's completely different. I mean, so if that being true, that the Bible's a book of order and organization, then when we deliver the Bible, when we're teaching the Bible, when we're preaching the Bible, then we need to have some kind of order and organization in our gospel message, right? I'll be honest with you. Again, I am not being mean. I promise you, I am not the one to be teaching this. I promise you, I'm not homiletically correct, but I do believe that we ought to have some structure. Or, you know, but I was going to say that, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to follow people, and one reason it's so hard for me to follow people is because they're all over the place. I heard Stennett Blue. Some of you may know Stennett Blue. Stennett Blue said years ago that one of his pet peeves was a preacher get up and say, "Well, I don't know where this is going to go." And he said, if you don't know where it's going, how do you expect anybody to follow you?" And I never have forgot that. Now, there's been times in my mind I've thought, "I don't know how it's going to go." But I don't say that, amen. Ever since I heard that, I don't say that. And but we ought to have some kind of an idea of where we're going, right? We have some kind of idea what direction we're going in. Preaching and teaching is about making a point or getting an idea or a theme or a thought across. And we need to know, you know, some people give their thought, their title, and then never they preach anything about it. Years ago, never will forget it. I was really needing something from heaven. I mean, I was needing God to do something. I just was going through a battle, and I drove for a couple hours and went to a meeting, and the man got up and preached, and he said, "I'm going to preach on how to have peace in a troubled world." And I'm thinking, man, this is what I need. My ears perked up. I said, "This is what I need." And for the next hour and a half, he preached on getting rid of your TV. And how you ought to take a shotgun and blow your TV up. And when I left there, I didn't have a clue how to have peace in a troubled world. Not one clue. And I'm not, but I mean, that's fine if he wants to preach. I'm just simply saying, he laid out a theme there and he never really got to it. And so a lot of things we're going to be looking at is that how to be better organized, right? And I promise you, I need help with that. How to be better organized and have some order in our teaching and our preaching. Let me say this about preaching and teaching. Teaching and preaching the Word of God is a spiritual gift. Not everybody can do it. James even said there, "Be not many masters." Not everybody can teach. It's a spiritual gift. Go to 1 Peter chapter number. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I'm coming back to Timothy, I promise you. I can understand why y'all didn't want to listen to him for 2 hours. Let me say this, 3 words should be clearly understood and kept distinct in our thoughts when we're thinking about homiletics. Number one, gift. Number two, knowledge. Number three, ability. A gift or a talent comes from God. Knowledge stems from prayerful, concentrated, and conscientious study of the Word of God. But ability is developed as the gift is exercised in an atmosphere of spirituality. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, as every man hath received the gift. See that? Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Amen. Let me read you this verse, Ephesians 4:11. You don't have to turn. I'll read it. Ephesians 4:11 talks about, he said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Romans 12:6-8, let me read it. He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the appropriation of faith, or ministry, let us minister on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So it's clear in these verses that teaching and preaching is a gift. It is a spiritual gift. M.R.D. Hahn said that if a man cannot preach, it's probably not God. Because it's a spiritual gift. Right? Now, ability is developed. In other words, the more you do something, the better you get at it. Right? I remember years ago when I was working at the furniture factory and over the cabinet department, we had some new people in leadership, and they thought, this was their mindset, they thought that everybody could do the same thing. That didn't matter, you know, that it didn't matter what job it was, you'd just plug anybody in there. It didn't matter. But what we tried to tell them is everybody's got different abilities and gifts, right? That's why you have... Not everybody can be Michael Jordan. I don't care how much you practice. I don't care how much effort you put into it. Not everybody. Why? Not everybody's that gifted. But Michael Jordan didn't start out. He got cut from his basketball team as a freshman. He still had that gift, but he had to develop the ability to use the gift that he's been given. And so the gift of teaching and preaching is a spiritual gift. Let me say this. I think teaching three different places is mentioned. We have three references of the gifts that are given to the church for the ministry. And teaching is, I think, the only one that's mentioned in all three. And so we see how important teaching is. Teaching the Word of God. I think in our churches, and again, I'm not being critical, but I think in our churches that teaching, really teaching the Scripture, is something that's not focused on near as much as it should be. And just to be honest about it, a lot of people in our churches have no idea what the Bible really says. And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I mean, it's obvious, and you go around and you talk to people, they don't really, and I'm not being critical, but it goes back to, of course, a lack of personal devotion and study time, but there's not good, sound Bible teaching and preaching. So there is a need, there is a great need for teaching it and preaching, okay? Now, we understand, you and I understand that preaching and teaching, though they're similar, they're still different, right? Now, age-old question, what is the difference between preaching and teaching? Now, a lot of people think if you teaching, you just talking, and preaching, you just screaming and hollering, and hacking, yeah. But there's a little bit more to it than that, right? There's a little bit more to it. I've seen men, and I think sometimes we focus too much on an individual's delivery. how they present truth or how they whether teaching or preaching, how they present it, and we focus a lot on their delivery instead of really receiving the truth that's being presented, right? Yeah, I mean, I love hard preaching. I mean, I like it, man. I'm talking about blood pressure, vein popping, sweat, slang, and snot. I like it, praise God. I mean, I like it. But you know what? God made us all different. Had a man years ago come by my church, and he was a missionary. I can't even remember where he was going. I was pastor at the time. And he didn't preach like maybe that I do, you know, my style. And a lot of people, he must not be called, or he don't have God on him just because he didn't holler and scream. But what I realized then was that he's going to a foreign country, and the majority of his preaching is going to be through an interpreter. And I promise you, you can't preach like I preach, like through an interpreter. You have to slow way down. I promise you, it's difficult. Like me, the way I preach, and everything I do is wide open all the time, and so that's the way I. And because of that, when I go to a foreign country and have to preach through an interpreter, I struggle. I really struggle. Right. So what is the difference between preaching and teaching if it's not necessarily style? Though that has somewhat to do with it. But simply put, teaching is imparting truth, while preaching goes further and demands a response to the truth that's been presented. Teaching is simply just relaying truth, right? That's what we're doing here. We're imparting truth. We're teaching truth. We're relaying truth, expounding Scripture. But preaching goes further, and it demands a response to the truth that's been presented. That's why our preaching, no matter what truth we put out, our preaching, we always bring it back around to challenge us, to, when we preach in the centers, we bring it back around to demand them to respond to the gospel message, or we challenge. We always bring it back around to responding to what you've heard. That's why we have an altar call, right? Why is that? Because we're preaching is more about demanding a response to the truth that's been presented. While teaching, you need to know this, all right? Teaching is imparting truth, while preaching goes further and demands a response to the truth that is presented. And in reality, it does not. It has nothing to do with delivery. I mean, again, I'm not being critical, but I want you to hear me out. I know men that scream, holler, and shout, but when they get done, they really ain't said much. Right? Preach an hour and 45 minutes, scream, holler, and shout, when they got done. What was they talking about? Am I telling it right? I'm not being critical. God knows my heart. I'm not being critical. But we're talking about how to really teach and preach the Word of God effectively. Right? Effectively. God's given you a gift. If you're called to preach, God's given you that gift. Well, you may not be teaching now. You may say, well, I'm not a teacher now. I don't have a class. But you might one day. You never know what God's going to do down the road, right? You never know the opportunity that may arise for God. I do know this. I learned a long time ago, if you make yourself available, God will wire you out. He'll work you to death. He'll make you busy. He'll put you to work. Amen. So if we make ourselves available. But anyway, again, it's a gift. The subject of homiletics involves many things. A consideration of essential qualifications of a preacher. We're going to look at that. The qualification of a preacher. And I'm going to say this before I go any further. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to teach and preach the Bible. I'm going to teach and preach the Bible. Not what this crowd says, and not what that crowd has said, and what And I tell you what I've tried to do. When I pastored, I've preached and taught through these verses that we're going to look at before. I know how I believe. But I tell you what I've done this week. I sit down with an open mind and studied the Word of God afresh and said, if I'm wrong, show me. I want to know. You know what? I think if we'll just stay with the Bible, we'll be all right, don't you? So, the qualification of a preacher essential. Consideration of essential qualification of a preacher. The urgent necessity for preaching. The importance of the proper preparation of preaching material, including its discovery and arrangement, the best means of securing the effective presentation and a reception of the message. And I'll be honest with you, there's some of these things that I wished I would have learned a long time ago. I really do not have a clue what I'm doing. I really don't. Preaching and teaching, I really do not have a clue what I'm doing. But when I started, I really did not have a clue what I was doing. I didn't know anything. I knew I was saved. God called me to preach. That's about all I knew. But I'm glad people helped me the wrong way. If preaching and teaching the Word of God is the most important thing in the church, and again, I believe it is. I believe it is the most important thing in the church, preaching and teaching. You say, well, what about worship, preacher? Well, if I understand the Bible, the foundation of worship is truth. Jesus told that priest in John 4, night in prison, Jesus told that woman in John 4, those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, if you look at your King James Bible in that text, that spirit is a small s, not a big s. Small s. Everybody said, well, you got to be in the Holy Ghost. I'm for being, don't get me wrong. But in that text, that's the word spirit, that's a small s, it's talking about my spirit, man's spirit. You know how I worship God? In my spirit. I worship Him in my spirit. Amen. And then, those that worship must worship in spirit. If I'm going to worship Him, I'm going to worship Him in my spirit. And in truth. What's the foundation of worship? It's truth. You know why we get up and sing songs and we get excited, we want to praise the Lord? You know what they're singing? Truth. Jesus saves. Amen. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You know what we're doing? We're worshiping on the truth that the blood of the Lord Jesus cleansed from sin. It's based on truth. And if truth is the main foundation of worship, then how can we truly worship if truth is not being presented? And I'll be honest with you, the truth of the Word of God will cause you to get more excited than anything else, amen? I was coming down the road, I always do this when I get out of prison, and I pull up the live feed, put it up on my dash, that little thing, and I listen to it going down the road. Brother Boone's talking about that width. Son, I about had a fit coming down the road, amen. In the beginning, the word was with God. But at Calvary, they separated for me, thank God. I'm telling you, I about come slap unglued, amen. Amen. It's the foundation of worship is truth. So if that's the case, and it is, then the main emphasis in our churches should be truth. Teaching and preaching truth. Amen. I don't know about all that preaching. Well, it's Bible. It's Bible. The subject, if preaching and teaching the Word of God is the most important thing in the church, and it should be. It should be the most important thing. Any attempt to increase the effectiveness of both preaching and teaching deserves serious consideration of every believer. Surely, we can admit there is much room for improvement in the quality of preaching and teaching today. Can I ask you a question? You don't have to answer. You don't have to raise your hand. Is there some people that you like to hear preach more than others? Is they people that you like to hear teach more than others? You know why? Those that you enjoy are more effective at getting their message of the Word of God that they're trying to present across. Is that right? So, what we're going to learn in homiletics is how do we take and we more effectively present the Word of God unto others. And that's what it's all about, right? That's what it's all about. Many a sermon or a lesson has been lost on an audience because of the lack of order in it. The Bible is not a scrambled book, but a very well-designed, organized book. We talked about that. Think about this. Any musician, any artist, any scientist, any mathematician must learn the fundamental principles of their field. I mean, if you're going to learn how to play an instrument, you've got to learn the chords, right? And I don't know much about music, but I know enough that you're going to have to learn a chord, you're going to have to learn the key, you're going to have to learn it, right? You got to learn them and found the basic principles of doing that. Well, if I'm going to teach the Word of God, if I'm going to preach the Word of God, then I need to know the basic principles of teaching and conveying the message in an effective way, in the proper way. Okay, so let's look at it tonight. First of all, I want you to notice the priority of preaching. The priority of preaching. We know that preaching is commanded in the Scriptures. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long. But what he says, he said, preach the word. Not my opinion, not my idea. Preach the word. Preach the word. If we're going to teach, if we're going to preach, let it be the word. Right? That's what we ought to be teaching. I'm amazed, and again, I'm not being critical, but I'm amazed how people want to. I heard about a fellow one time that he said he preached 2 hours out of the psalm book. Opened up to Amazing Grace and preached out of the psalm book for 2 hours. I thought, why in the world you want to preach out of a psalm book when you got a book that's inspired of God, amen? There's 66 books in here that's inspired of God. Get the Bible and preach a book, amen? That's what he said to do. Preach the word, thank God. That's what the Bible said in the book of Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. You see, if I present the truth, then people cannot argue with that. May argue my idea, may argue my opinion, may argue but listen, if it's the truth of the Scripture, then there's no arguing with a book. Amen? It's a priority. Preaching. Titus 1 and 2 says this, but hath in due times manifested his word. How? How did he manifest his word? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God and Savior. Let me say this. I think one of the downfalls, I don't know if that's a good word, one of the problems that we have in our churches in this day and time is we don't realize how important, how serious, how grave, it is to teach and to preach the Word of God. That is a serious matter. I mean, that's the Word of Almighty God. And when I'm teaching it or when I'm preaching it, I'm expressing what God wants you to know out of the Word of God. And if I can't express God's Word and expound it for you to understand what the Bible's teaching, then I have failed at my job. Amen? If I'm preaching a passage or I'm teaching a passage, when I get done, listen, what should have happened was that I relayed the truth that God wanted us to understand out of that passage. I've relayed that truth unto the hearer, right? And if they didn't understand the truth that was being presented and the idea and the thought of God from the text, then I have failed at my job. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. People want to get up and they just want to read the Bible and try to teach it and preach it. It's like it's nothing. It's a serious thing. It's a serious, serious matter. 1 Corinthians 1:21, the Bible said, "For that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, yet it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, it didn't say foolish preaching. It said the foolishness of preaching. Because the world thinks preaching and teaching the scriptures is foolishness. Amen. I get on a street corner and preach. People driving by, it's lost. And you know what they think? He's lost his mind. They think it's foolish. But he didn't say foolish preaching. I've heard a lot of foolish preaching. I've heard a lot of foolish teaching. Amen. Let's just be honest tonight. Amen. Romans 10:14-15. "How then shall they call on him whom they not believe? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." There is a great emphasis placed on preaching in the scriptures. Noah was a preacher. 2 Peter 2:5 tells us that. Jonah was a preacher. Jonah 3:2 tells us that. Jesus was a preacher. Matthew 4:17. The Lord sent his disciples out to preach. Mark 3:14. Paul was a preacher unto the Gentiles. Romans 1:15. He said, "For as much as in me is, I'm now ready to preach the gospel." So there is a great priority placed on preaching. I tell you what a lot of churches are doing. They're minimizing preaching. Making much of programs and different things. But I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God places a great emphasis on preaching. I wish Brother David was here tonight. We just come out of the Winter Jubilee. And one thing I like, Brother David will say many times during that Jubilee, we're going to major on preaching right now. At my home church, listen, I hear people all the time, "Well, we didn't have no preaching today." And that happens. I'm going to tell you something. It has to get real good. Real good. I'm talking about it has got to get real good before there's no preaching. Amen. Now, when God just takes over and takes, I'm not talking about that. I'll tell you what I've seen a lot of people do. I've seen a lot of people try to promote it and preach and push it and fan it. Amen. Because you know why? Because they don't preach. And I'm not talking about stuff that's real. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you this much. There would not be every service if there ain't no preaching. Because there's an emphasis on preaching. And if there's an emphasis on preaching in this book, then there should be an emphasis on preaching in the house of God. And if there's an emphasis on teaching in this book, the truths of the Word of God, then there ought to be an emphasis in our churches on preaching and teaching the Word of God. The priority of preaching. Notice the position of preaching. I'm going to deal with a few things right here, and I'm real quick. I'll probably come back to this. I ain't got much time left. The position of a preacher, or the position of preaching. First of all, I want to look at the call of a preacher. Now, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible says this. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, I'm going to say something about that. A lot of people will say that the call of preach is a desire to preach. But can I say tonight it's much more than that? There's a lot of things that I desire to do that I cannot do. I desire to sing, but you don't want to hear me attempt it. Amen? It's more than just a desire. So I don't know about that. Let's look at the Bible. 1 Timothy. Look here, 1 Timothy, right here in our text. Look, chapter 1, verse 12. Well, let's look up in verse number 11. Chapter 1, verse 11. Paul writing to young Timothy. Verse number 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which committed to my trust. What about that? God said, Paul said, the gospel was committed unto my trust. Whew. If you're teaching the Bible, you're preaching the Bible, God commits this word into our trust that we will handle it properly. That's pretty stout, amen. Go in verse 12. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. There again, it's a gift. It's an ability. God gives a man ability to preach. Enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful. Watch this. Putting me in the ministry. Can I tell you something? I've heard people say this. I've heard people say, well, I volunteered. I'm going to tell you, hey, friend, it was not. God put me in this thing. God placed me in this thing. Galatians 1. Or look, Acts number 20, let me read you these verses. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of God. Galatians 1, verse 15, 16. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among him among the heathen. And immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Hey, listen, it's more than just a desire. Matter of fact, this text in 1 Timothy 3, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop. I studied on that today, and that word desire, it literally means an outward manifestation of a want. But then he goes on to say, desireth a good work. One writer I read ever said that word hit man a deep, settled yearning on the inside that comes to the outside. So what is it called to preach? It's an itch that won't go away. Amen. It's an itch that won't go away. It's more than desire. Now God put a desire in your heart for what he wants you to do. I believe that. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I believe God will put a desire in your heart for the will of God. Amen. I mean, when God was dealing with me about preaching, everybody said, well, I tried to get out of it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really try to get out of it. I just wanted to make sure that that was what God wanted me to do. My pastor told me years ago, he said this, he said, whatever it is, he said, you make 100% sure that God told you to do it. And he said, because there'll be times when you'll get in a battle. And he said, the only thing you'll have to go on is God told you to do it, and he ain't told you to stop it. Amen. And so everything I've ever done, I had to make sure. And sometimes it takes God a while to get my attention, because I'm probably too cautious sometimes. But I want to make sure it is the will of God. Amen. So we see that the position, it is a called position. God calls men into the ministry. Again, now, what about teaching, preacher? Well, again, I think according to the scriptures that teaching is a gift. Okay? I don't necessarily know if it's a calling. We know that the call to preach is a call of God. He placed me, he put me in the ministry. And so when you call me to teach, well, you might put a desire in your heart to teach and give you the gift and the ability to do that. Right? And so we see the call of a preacher. But real quick, let's get to, and we'll come back next week. But verse number 1, 1 Timothy 3, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. Let's look at the character of a preacher. And you may say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, like we said here before, if you're a member of a church, maybe a time down the road you're looking for a preacher. We'll like to think about that, and, you know, hope that never happens, but you don't ever know. Right? One of my heroes of the faith got a bad report from a doctor this week. I don't know what the future's going to hold for him. You know, you don't know, we don't ever know what tomorrow's going to hold. And so, I said that to say this, even if you're not a preacher, you didn't know what the Bible says about God and man. Right? Remember years ago, I got saved at the church. I don't really want to call the church, but I got saved at the church, and was a member there, and God started using me at that church again. I started teaching Sunday school. They put me in just needed somebody, really. I got through into us teaching Sunday school. And that's a dangerous thing. There's a lot of people get put into teaching, have no business teaching. There's a lot of people get put in as pastor, have no business pastor. Amen. I'm just being honest. And anyway, God in his providence, he put me, I was teaching, and our pastor resigned. We were without a pastor. And I was just young in the Lord. I didn't know anything much about what the Bible, you know, I didn't know much. But we was looking for a preacher. I got over and started reading these verses. And after a few months went by, they started wanting to put in a man that I felt like was disqualified according to the Bible. And so what'd you do? Well, it was either go along or take a stand. And I had to take a stand. And unfortunately, that stand that I took, I had to leave the church. I didn't cause a big scene, make a big scene. I just said, that's not right. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible says. And that man's not qualified according to the Bible. And they said, well, we know what the Bible says, but that's a big mess. Somebody says that, you better throw up a red flag. And you know what the church did as a whole? They put that man as a pastor. So what I did, I said, I'm going down the road. This church has chose to go against the Bible, and so I'm going down the road. Amen. And I don't think you'll try to, even if you disagree, I don't think you'll make a scene and cause a big bunch of trouble. Right? Just do it right. Be a Christian, you know. But you don't ever know what the future holds. He said in verse number 2, a bishop then must be blameless. Now what you're going to find in this text is that is the key to the rest of these qualifications that are given in this text. He must be blameless. And really what he does in the following verses, Paul writing to young Timothy, he gives a description of a blameless individual. Blameless. It literally means to take a hold of. This means there is nothing in the preacher, the pastor's life that Satan and an unsaved world can take a hold of to tear down the ministry or the church. Now we understand no individual, no man is sinless, but the pastor must strive to be above reproach in every area of life. Now I want to say this, and then I'll hush. We know here that he's talking about a bishop, right? Now we know as we study the scripture that he's talking about a pastor. A bishop, an elder, and a pastor, those words are, they're used to mean the same thing in the scripture. So he's talking about a pastor. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, this is what it says about being a pastor, but but an evangelist or just a preacher don't have to adhere to these qualifications. Well, I got some problems with that. Number one, there's not two sets. Amen. Number two, Bradley Boone is the pastor of Concord Baptist Church. He is responsible for this pulpit and for preaching and teaching the Word of God, right? And you know what else he's responsible for? For the men that he puts behind you. And when I stand behind this pulpit, if I'm preaching for him on Sunday morning and I'm standing in this pulpit, you know what I'm doing? I'm standing here as an extension of that man of God. So, if that man the pastor has to adhere to a certain qualification. Then another man that's going to be extension of that. Does that make sense? Surely has to be held to the same standard. Does that make sense? So there's not two different qualifications. Another argument or problem I have with that is, if you go on down and you look at the deacon that he gives here, he gives his qualification of a deacon. And that's pastoring years ago. And I pretty much just taught 1 Timothy 3 and talked about the qualification of a preacher and deacon, just went down through it, line upon line, verse upon verse, and just really just made a comment or two. And our church didn't have a deacon at the time, and they come up to me and they said, you have made the qualifications of a deacon so hard, nobody wants to be one. Say, what did you say? I looked at them and said, I didn't make them. I didn't, God did. It's not me. I didn't say that. God did. So, sure, God would not hold a deacon to a higher standard than what he would hold a man of God that would preach that book. Right? So he must be blameless. We'll come back to that next week. We're out of time. All right? So, if you haven't got your textbook, you've got a week or two, you can start getting that. And we'll start getting into that, okay?
Just mention for people that are watching online that may be confused about, sometimes in our books there's going to be different versions of the Wheel
of Barbara. Yeah, absolutely. I really haven't looked too close at this one. I've went through this book before, but they may be a scripture reference, again, we're King James only, period. But, some of these books may have a different reference Bible. That does not mean we endorse that. But surely you'd be mature enough to mark it out and get your King James Bible and read it, amen. And you say, well, they bless God. And I'm going to tell you something. You can glean some things from some people, I used to... I can remember my daddy, my grandpa, somebody told me when I was a boy, said, son, you can learn two things from everybody, what to do, what not to do. Right? All right, so, and then the classroom, the Google Classroom.
Google Classroom.
All right, so, the Google Classroom, there'll be a quiz on there shortly, and you'll have, really the next week to take it. And I'm sure Brother Boone can explain this, but trying to make sure everybody's watching the videos. If you're not here, you're watching the videos. And doing it this way, you won't have no big, long assignment for me at the end of the, or you just go plumb hysterical, It won't be none of that. It'll just be a little short quiz at the end of it. And it'll be simple. If you watched, if you was here, if you watched it, you can,